Mr. McAdams, you're recognized for 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chairman Upton, Ranking Minority Rush, Ranking Minority Member Waxman, and members of the committee. It is an honor to be with you today on behalf of the Advanced Biofuels Association. The Advanced Biofuels Association represents more than 40 of the leading technology innovators in the advanced and cellulosic biofuel space, as well as a number of the agricultural biomass to energy feedstock producers. In the past 3 months, the Advanced Biofuels Association has responded to 4 of your white papers and is currently preparing a 5th. We congratulate the committee and your staff for this bipartisan, thoughtful, and substantive approach. Given that ABFA has provided the committee detailed answers on the RFS, I'd like to take a step back this morning and try to accomplish 3 things. First, I'd like to set a context around the RFS. Second, I'd like to call the impacts of the debate into focus. And lastly, I'd like to offer a solution set for your consideration. Congress expanded the RFS to stimulate an advanced and cellulosic biofuels industry, to encourage larger greenhouse gas reductions, and to develop more energy-dense drop-in fuels. Many of these new advanced biofuels are hydrocarbons, and they're compatible with the existing pipelines, refineries, planes, trains, and automobiles. ABF members are delivering on that vision today. Today's hearing is largely about concerns surrounding the blend wall. Simply stated, it is the mismatch between the number of gallons of gasoline the U.S. market is demanding and the number of gallons of ethanol the RFS calls to be mixed into that gasoline. With a 10% limit on the ethanol to gasoline ratio, there's a mismatch this year of roughly 500 million gallons. However, the RIN bank carryover provisions in the law allow the RINs from 2012 to meet the proposed targets in 2013, and they are enough this year to easily achieve the proposed mandate. The RIN market makers, however, they question whether this will be the case in 2014 and 2015. This year, the United States of America will use 213 billion gallons of fuel, and of that, about 15 billion gallons will be renewable fuel. The 500 million gallon mismatch represents 1/30, or 3.3% of the entire production of renewable fuels in the United States, and 0.2% of the amount of fuel we use in America. Additionally, much has been made about the shortfall of cellulosic gallons. I would argue that the recent court case that my colleagues on the panel here were victorious in has adequately addressed the phantom fuel issue. And this year, we will see significant gallons in the cellulosic pool, which began to be placed on the EMTS system last month. Calling for the full repeal of the RFS over a short-term issue impacting less than 1% of all the fuels we use in America doesn't make a lot of sense as a public policy solution. For ABFA's members, the debate over repealing the RFS is having a chilling impact on the investment community and is restraining the growth and ability of our members to move forward. Despite this, many of them are making real gallons of cellulosic gasoline and diesel today, as well as renewable diesel and other RFS-approved fuels. In the last 6 years, U.S. businesses in the private sector have spent $14.72 billion in pursuit of the policy goal you collectively laid down in this committee. According to Bloomberg Energy Finance, $33 billion has been invested worldwide in this sector. That means we're almost half of the world's investment. These numbers represent people and jobs all over America. Jobs in rural America planting and cultivating the best new energy crops. Jobs building and operating biorefineries, technology and engineering jobs, and laboratory jobs researching new feedstocks and enzymes, and many more. To repeal the RFS would pull the rug right out from under them and change the rules in the first half of the game. This confusing policy signal is a benefit to the incumbent players in the fuels market and a significant disadvantage to those trying to finance and build new innovative technologies. A potential short-term solution can be found at EPA. When Congress passed the RFS2 in 2007, it provided EPA with significant flexibility and authority to address issues which could arise from hurricanes, droughts, and unforeseen economic factors. Much of what is difficult about the RFS today is the uncertainty surrounding the obligations on a yearly basis. ABFA and others on this panel and panels after this one have called for EPA to release the renewable volume obligations for 2013 and 2014 as quickly as possible, providing an additional year of clarity with a framework for the 2015 RVOs would help rapidly diffuse much of the economic pressure those of us on this side of the table are feeling. The committee should encourage EPA to explore a combined 2014-2015 framework. A clear signal from EPA given to the stakeholders in advance would be a huge step forward in adjusting EPA's procedure to help all the markets work more smoothly. Thank you for the opportunity to testify with you today, and I look forward to your questions.